You're listening to Rhema for Today.
Thank God one day I went further. As a Baptist boy reading Grandma's Methodist Bible, hallelujah, I got over here in the area of healing, and I began to tread on sickness and tread on disease, walk on top of it, hallelujah, amen. And every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon shall be yours. If you don't take it, you won't have it. If you don't take it, you won't get it. And though it belongs to you, it's up to you to do the possessing of it. Amen. Hallelujah.
Welcome to Rhema for Today. Kenneth E. Hagin continues his teaching, How to Possess the Land, next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Brother Hagin for today's message.
Did you ever notice in the 103rd Psalm, you see Israel, or the Psalm, the book of Psalms, well, we call it the book of Psalms, but in the Hebrew Bible, it's five books. And these five book of Psalms was Israel's prayer and song book. Amen. Did you ever notice that 103rd Psalm? Bless the Lord, O my soul, very first verse, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Hallelujah. You see, we talked about what belongs to us and possess it. These benefits belong to us. Amen? Amen. These are our possession, so to speak. Well, what are they? Number one, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Well, thank God he's still in the forgiving business, because God don't ever change. God's always the same. Amen. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Now, did you notice what the psalmist said? And this is a psalm of David, you know. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. It's so easy to forget. It's so easy to be taken up with things of the world, and our attention is directed some other way. Amen. But blessed be God, he said, forget not all his benefits. Who or he forgiveth all our iniquities. Hallelujah. I thank God for that. That's of first and foremost importance. But thank God there's more to our inheritance. There's more to our possession. There's more that belongs to us in this spiritual promised land. Who healeth all thine diseases. Glory to God, aren't you glad? Amen. Hallelujah, that belongs to us. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Saves us from being destroyed. Hallelujah. Who crowneth thee with loving kindnesses and tender mercies. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right. Let's go back again to Deuteronomy now. You'll notice that there not only was there forgiveness of sins, in our benefits, in our blessings, in our possession. These are things that belong to us. But we have to do the possessing of it. Too many folks are waiting for God to give it to them. Well, if he wants me to have it, he'll give it to me. Like I said, that's ignorance gone to seed. He tells you what's yours, and he says, come on in. Come on in. Come on and possess your possessions. Amen. Eight times, I believe it was here, we read about the land that you go into possession. We read, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread on shall be yours. Now, you see, many Christians, they've treaded on that part that said, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and that's as far as they go. Thank God, one day I went further. As a Baptist boy reading Grandma's Methodist Bible, hallelujah, I got over here in the area of healing, and I began to tread on sickness and tread on disease, walk on top of it, hallelujah, amen. And every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon shall be yours. If you don't take it, you won't have it. If you don't take it, you won't get it. And though it belongs to you, it's up to you to do the possessing of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Now then, I wanted you to notice this. We read that a moment ago, and I want to call your attention to it. That your days, that's the 21st verse, that your days may be multiplied. Now, some folks said, well, you know, the Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die. Of course, the Bible said that. But they take that scripture out of its setting. You can take verses of scripture, portions of verses, out of its setting, out of the context, and make the Bible say anything you want it to say. I very humorously, you know, use this illustration sometime as a pastor. We always, because like the last church we pastored, it wasn't a decent place in town for somebody to stay. We kept evangelists or special guests or speakers in our home. And the church, sometimes they'd provide money to buy food so they didn't want us to have to feed them out of our pocket. Most of the time they'd bring stuff in, just feed us. And somebody would bring, you know, one of the kind of pies that I liked the best. And I'd get up the next night and just brag on that, you know, and say, Sister so-and-so brought this, you know. And you ought to bring one. And I'll prove it by the Bible that you ought to bring one. The Bible said, go thou and do likewise. Well, I took that out of its context, didn't it? Amen? So the same thing here. You can take verses in any area. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. So folks, take that out of the context and take it away from the rest of the scriptures. See, after all, you read right here, if it's appointed unto man once to die, in other words, everybody's got an appointed time to die, and when your time comes, you're going to die, whether or no. But if that's true, then this scripture couldn't be true. If you got an appointed time to die, and you're going to die, whether or no, then your days couldn't be multiplied, could they? They couldn't be added unto, could they? But you see, if you don't know what the scripture actually says on the subject, well, then you see the devil can take advantage of you. Because did you know that the devil can quote scripture? I said the devil can quote scripture. He quoted scripture to Jesus, didn't he? I said, didn't he?
Amen.
Amen. I remember when I was healed. I was raised up from a deathbed. Doctor said I had to die. Now, to tell you the real truth about the matter, and there's some areas you know that I don't refer to always. I just refer to the part that's applicable to what I'm talking about at the moment, you see. But you see, actually, I didn't say anything to Mama. I didn't say anything to my grandmother or my granddad about it because I'd talked to them a year before. And they said that all of these things had been done away with, you know, and the Lord didn't heal today and so on and so forth. So I knew I had enough sense to know if I talked to them, they'd try to talk me out of it. Then you know they love me. They'd walk in all the light they had, but they didn't have much. And so I saw, as a Baptist boy, reading Grandma's Methodist Bible, I saw Mark 11, 23 and 24. I didn't know everything I know now. I just had a sort of like, you know, in your dark room, and there's a little light creeping through the keyhole, and a little light creeping through under the door, and that's about where I was. But I prayed my own prayer of faith and believed God and was healed. Now, I didn't tell them, but you see, I got up out of bed, was healed, never said a word to a soul. Walked around the room, hadn't walked in 16 months. In fact, the day I was healed, just an hour and a half before I got up walking around the room, Mama bathed me. I'm still helpless enough, I can't bathe myself. Partially paralyzed. And then the second day, see, I was really healed on Tuesday. And the second day, Wednesday, never said a word to a soul. When nobody's in the room, I got out of bed, walked around the room, you know. And then on Wednesday night, I said to Mama before I went to bed, I said, Mama, now I want you to bring my clothes and lay them out because I'm going to get up in the morning and go to the breakfast table. Well, now, son, you can't do that. Don't you know what Dr. Robertson said? Don't you even try to get out of bed. You'll just fall dead. You can't do that. It took me 45 minutes to convince her I'm healed. I said, I've been up around walking around the room every day for the last 2 days. I'm healed. Finally, she consented. I think she thought, well, he's going to die anyway, so might as well die happy. And she brought my clothes and laid them out. I got up the next morning, put my clothes on, and sitting there in my bedroom. Now, we live with my grandparents on my mother's side of the family. Grandpa always got up early. When you hear the porch swing, see, this is August. No air conditioning, so the windows and the doors are open. But when you hear the porch swing creak, and he heads back to the back of the house, you know it's 7:30. I mean, there's no use looking at your watch. And if you looked at it and didn't say 7:30, you better set it. Because it's 7:30. It's 7:30. I know what he's doing. He's going to walk back to the dining room. Now the kitchen also had a little dinette area, but that wasn't big enough. So we always ate in the dining room. Had more room, you see. And so I purposely waited till I knew they would all get seated at the table. Then I walked out of my bedroom and across through another bedroom and into the dining room. When I walked in, my grandfather's a man of few words. He looked up and said, "Is the dead raised? Is Lazarus raised up?" I said, "Yeah, the Lord raised me up." He said, "Well, sit down and have breakfast." So Granny got up and got a plate, because there wasn't any sitting there for me, just the empty spot. Put the plate and all there, and so we ate. Now, you didn't talk at Grandpa's table. It's amazing how soon you can eat and how quick you can get through if you don't talk. But particularly kids and teenagers and young people did not talk at Grandpa's table. And very little did anybody else talk. In fact, he didn't talk himself. I'll guarantee you, if he is alive today, and he was that way till the day he died, and I inherited a lot of that, it took me a long time to overcome it. If he was alive today, and if I were to take, stand up, Jim. We just happened to stop by, and I said, "Grandpa, I want you to meet Jim." He'd say, "How are you, Jim?" And sit down and sat there for 2 hours and a half, never say another word to him. Never say another word. Never say another word.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, and the rest of the Hagin family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. This month, we're offering Kenneth E. Hagin's CD entitled The Secret to My Success. We're also offering Lynette Hagin's Seed Thoughts Devotional. Last but not least is Kenneth W. Hagin's book entitled Expect. All these items at the special price of $25. Call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. Again, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
About, you know, Rhema Bible Training College, we will be graduating our 50th graduation class right here on the campus Friday, May the 17th at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's going to be a special time. 50 years, that's a long time.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you can come, that would be great. But if you can't come, it's going to be live streamed. It's going to be on YouTube. It's going to be on RBTC USA, on Facebook, on Rumble.
Rhema.tv, and also on our app, the Rhema USA app.
That's right. That's right.
Tomorrow, more from Kenneth E. Hagin with his classic teaching, How to Possess the Land. If you'd like, you can visit our online bookstore at rhema.org. Thanks for listening to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.